Today, I'm going to preach about prayer. It's really bright in here with the windows open. Like, I can see everybody. Like, it's like you guys are glowing. So, but I'm going to preach on prayer. And prayer is something that we obviously should all do, but probably very few of us do it as much as we should. We probably nobody does it as much as they should, is how I should say that. And I don't think that it's possible to pray too much. Obviously, we prayed for 24 hours, and then we're going to have a message on prayer, and we're going to pray at the end. And we've prayed throughout service. But you can't pray too much. You can't pray too often. But praying sometimes, for some people, it seems natural. It's normal, and it's easy to do. And for others, you probably fit in one of these categories. For others, it's awkward, feels uncomfortable, and it's difficult to do. I mean, whether you're in private or in front of people. And so you can fit in that in various degrees. Maybe you pray on your own, but you don't like to pray in front of people. Maybe it's even awkward praying on your own because it feels weird. But here's the problem with prayer. This is the problem that people have with prayer, is that people make prayer complicated. That's on us. We make prayer complicated. And that could be for a number of different reasons. You don't know what to pray about. Like, well, I don't know what to pray. It seems like I just pray for the same stuff over and over. If that's what you got, go with it. For others, it's, I don't really know how to pray, or I don't really know when to pray. Is it okay for me to pray silently in my head? Is it okay for me to pray as I'm driving? Is it okay for me to pray on my lunch break? The answer is yes. If you're praying, you're praying. I don't believe that God cares how or when you pray. I do believe that we should spend time before him with no distractions in prayer. I do believe that. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't listen whenever you're driving and you pray, or whether you're in public and you're not in a position to pray out loud and you're praying in your head or whatever. So we as people are the ones that make prayer complicated. And others think that they have to come up with big, profound words so it will be powerful. There's a couple of people that I've felt that way around. And you guys know some of them, but like John Lamadou, when you pray around him, if you're going to compare yourselves to others, don't pray with John, because you'll walk out of there feeling like, does God even care what I said after what he just lifted up? But I mean, people pray differently. It doesn't make the way that you pray any less significant. We're the ones that do that. We're the ones that we compare ourselves and like, well, I don't pray as good as him, and I'm not loud like that guy, or I'm not quiet and soft-spoken like that person. Whatever the case may be, we're the ones that make prayer difficult. And we have this thought sometimes, like, I've already prayed about this, and it's not happened, so it must not be God's will. Sometimes we have thoughts like, God probably doesn't care about this or that. Like, is he even listening to me? I don't know. Pray about it anyway. It's not a reason not to pray, but those are the kinds of excuses and the kinds of things that we think about sometimes. And so if we think our prayers are unimportant and insignificant, then we have no motivation to pray. When we think that, well, maybe other people are already praying about that, so it doesn't matter if I do. That's not true, okay? You read in Revelation about the bowls of incense that are filled with the prayers of the saints that the angels pour out, okay? Filled with the saints. I don't know for sure what those prayers are in there, but I'm sure that some of ours are in there, okay? We pray. It doesn't matter if somebody else might be praying. Or how about, oh, well, you're a pastor or an elder or a Sunday school teacher, or you just seem to really have a good walk with God. God probably listens to you. Will you pray about this? Like, have you guys ever said that? I have. I'm not even kidding you. Like, when I was still at QNS, before I was here, I think it was before I even started preaching when Jacob was still here, one of the guys at work was like, oh, well, you're a pastor now. He's like, will you pray about this? Like, you got a pipeline, to God. And I'm like, no, like, not any more than I had yesterday. Like, it's the same. But people really think that way. And I'm not saying that it's not a good idea to have other men and women of God pray, because it absolutely is. But not in substitution for you praying, because your prayers are not less significant than somebody who has a what you think is a better relationship with God. But people do that. And so we have to be in a position first where we don't belittle our own prayers. That's the first step to praying, is don't think less of yourself. Don't think that your prayers don't matter, or any of the number of issues that I listed. Don't think that God doesn't care. Don't think that he's not listening. Don't think that others have this pipeline that you don't have. I mean, every one of us is simply a child of God who, as Christy shared, when that veil was torn, we were given access to God. We all were given access to God. Like, it's not like it was then. It's not like you guys are priests and I'm the high priest. No, we are priests. I preached about that a while back. We are priests. Jesus is the high priest. We're on the same level. And I will stand with you in faith. The elders, others, leaders in the church will stand with you in faith. We'll pray for you, pray with you. But your prayer has power, okay? So that's my goal today, is to kind of eliminate some of that stuff. And if you're one that struggles with any of these things that hold you back from prayer, my hope today is that that will change in your life. And some people give up on prayer. If you're somebody who's given up on prayer, you think that your prayers aren't effective, that God doesn't listen, or you don't even pray as often as you should, I'm hoping today that'll change as well. So that's my goal with this whole message. And I'm going to preach out of 1 John chapter 5 today. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. So if you guys want to turn there, I'm going to pray. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. God, I don't know what we would do without your word, that it's so precious to us, Lord. And Lord, I don't look forward to that day whenever your word is hard to come by, whenever this nation is oppressed and Christians in this nation are oppressed and the word gets taken from us. Lord, I just pray right now that you would begin to give us more of a memory for your word, God, that we would be able to commit your word to memory, Lord, even as some of us try, and it's like we get distracted and we forget, and we know what verses are, but we don't know exactly where to find them, or we can't quote them verbatim. We just kind of know generally what it says. Lord, I just pray that you would raise up in your people a desire to memorize your word, to take it to heart, Lord, even as your word says, Lord, that you would just write your word on our heart, Lord. And I know that by your spirit, you will remind us of the things we've read in your word and you will lead us. But God, I just love the fact that we have stacks of Bibles and we can just read them wherever we want. We have it on our phones, and that it's unlimited access. So we're thankful for that, Lord, and we just esteem your word highly above all things. Your word is so precious to us, and we just pray that today, since your word is alive, that you would make it alive and speak to us by your Holy Spirit through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. See, we're a house of prayer. Awesome. All right. So the first thing we'll see in this verse is confidence, which is part of what I just talked about. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." If we ask what? Anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So again, the first thing there is confidence. Now, I was talking about we have a lack of confidence in us a lot of times. We have a lack of confidence in our prayers. But in reality, when you really get to the bottom of it, I believe that when we don't pray, it's a lack of a confidence in him. That's what the verse starts out with. This is our confidence that we have in him. Confidence simply means this: assurance, trust, firm belief, and boldly. So when we don't pray, that's we're saying that we don't have an assurance that he's going to hear us and that he's going to act upon it. We don't trust that he's going to hear us and that he's going to act upon it. We don't firmly believe that he's going to hear us and he's going to act upon it. That's what we say whenever we don't pray. Now, if you have confidence in him, in Jesus, it means you trust him. That's good. We want to trust Jesus. You want to trust the one that you're praying to, that you're expecting to do what you're asking. When you have confidence in him, you have a firm belief in him. That means that what he promises, he will do. That you firmly believe that. Like, what he says in his word, he'll do it. That's important. It's very important if we're going to pray. And so why do we have trouble with prayer? And one reason that God really laid on my heart is condemnation. And this isn't the only reason people have trouble with prayer, but one reason is condemnation, which is guilt or shame about something that we've done. And we see in 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." That word confidence is the exact same word, confidence, in 1 John chapter 5. If our heart doesn't condemn us, we have confidence toward God. So, when we have sin in our life, we have things that we're not repentant of, it hinders our prayer life. It's the first place to look. When we're not confident in prayer, when we're not confident that God hears us, the first thing we have to do is look at our life. Okay, do I have sin in my life? Do I have things I need to address, things I need to repent of and get out of my life? Is that why God's not listening to me? Why I feel like he's not listening to me? You can have a confidence that you have free access to him if you have that clear conscience. If you have that clear conscience before God, it leads to boldness in prayer. It leads to confidence in prayer. And when we have that confidence, we can freely access boldly the requests made known to him. We see that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." That word boldly in that verse right there is the same Greek word as confidence. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Okay, when I used to read that verse, I always thought it means I can come to the throne of grace and I can just like, I can ask anything I want. I can scream. I can be like, you know, bold. But it means being confident. When you're coming to the throne of grace, you got to be confident. I mean, if you're not confident, he's probably like, why should I even give you that? You don't even really know if you want it. You don't even really know if I'm going to do it. You don't have any confidence. Why would he reward that with answer to prayer? We have to come confidently, boldly to the throne of grace. And when you come to the throne of grace, we often leave off the last part of that verse. That verse says, "Therefore come boldly or confidently to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need." When we come to the throne of grace, you obtain mercy for the past and grace for the present and the future. That's good. When you come to the throne of grace, you get mercy for your past, grace for your present and your future, and it's awesome. So, we have to be confident toward Jesus. We have to be confident that he cares. We have to be confident that he is able. And we have to be confident that he's willing. Okay? Most of us are probably in agreement that God can do anything. Right? Do you disagree with that? If you do, Jesus says it himself in Scripture, in Matthew and in Luke, that all things are possible with God. Things are impossible with men. All things are possible with God. He can do anything. And I think most people will agree with that. But is he willing? Is God willing to do this? And oftentimes people are hesitant to ask for something, what I shared earlier, because they've asked before and they've not received it. It's like, well, it must not be God's will. I asked for this. He didn't answer. But listen, if you haven't received answer to your prayer, it does not mean that Jesus doesn't care. It doesn't mean that he's not able. And it doesn't mean that he's not willing. Like, well, then why wouldn't I receive it? Well, I can't tell you the exact reason that you don't receive a specific prayer. Because if I knew, then I would fix all those things in my life so God would hear every one of my prayers and answer them. Okay, but there could be many reasons. There could be sin. There could be lack of faith. It could be that you need to suffer for his sake. Part of what I shared last week. Maybe you're supposed to learn something from your situation and you've yet to do so. Maybe that's why. I don't know. Those are just lots of reasons, and you hear those reasons when people try to answer, well, why didn't God answer this prayer? So I want you to consider something. First, the fact that we're going to use an example here, healing, because there's a lot of scriptural basis for this. So we're going to use healing for an example, but you can apply this to any type of prayer need that you have. Jesus does heal. Matthew 8, chapter 1 through 3 says this. When he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. Now, the first thing I want you guys to look in verse 2, it says, the leper came and, where is that? Is it up there? Verse 2. The leper came and did what? Worshipped him. Ah, he worshipped him. He exalted God, Jesus, above his problem. That's the first thing that the leper did. He exalted Jesus, and then he said, okay, Lord, if you're willing, I know that you can do it. And Jesus says, I am willing. So we see right there, we see the confidence in Jesus from this leper. Now, lepers were outcasts. Nobody wanted anything to do with them, and I've never been around a leper, but I hear that the smell is like horrendous. Like you can smell them coming for, I think I've heard miles. I don't know if that's true, but you can smell them from a long ways away. Kind of like those ants smelled the goodies that we had sitting out last Sunday that we were going to use for Sunday night, and they ate it. So me and Vicky were talking about that. I was like, that's like me smelling something from Effingham and walking over there to get it, like those ants that came from outside. But anyway, like a leper, I think you could smell them from a very far distance, and they were outcasts. And this leper saw Jesus, and the multitudes were following Jesus. And we don't even know what multitudes is. I imagine it's like what you see at a huge gathering, a rock concert or a ball game or whatever. Like that type of crowd going after him, and this leper makes it through there, and he's like, I've got confidence. This man right here is not just a man. He can heal me. He worshiped him, asked for healing, and he received it. So this leper knew that Jesus could cleanse him. That he knew, he was confident in. What he didn't know is, are you willing? Jesus, are you willing to heal me? But Jesus was willing. And if he was willing to work in the life of a leper, he's willing to work in your life and my life. Romans 2:11 says, for there is no partiality with God. Jesus shows no partiality. The King James Version says, God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't deem some people more worthy than others. You realize that? Jesus doesn't look at us. We as people often look at people as, well, that person's more worthy than that person. Hopefully we're not doing that here. Go home and read James. It tells you not to do that. James instructs you clearly. I think it's chapter 3 or 4. But Jesus doesn't show partiality. He doesn't see some people as more worthy than others. He doesn't prefer certain people over other people. He doesn't care what your social status is. You realize that? God doesn't care, good or bad, what our social status is. He sees us all the same. Whatever your need is, if he's done it for someone else, he can do it for you. Hebrews 13:8, we spoke this over and over this weekend. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he was willing to cleanse a leper then, he's willing to cleanse you of whatever your problem is right now. And again, this is one example of healing. But the love of Christ is unchanging. His character, unchanging. His willingness, unchanging. He always has and always will want good things for his people. Now, your definition of good and his definition of good are probably not the same. And that's where part of the breakdown is, that what we consider good is not necessarily good. Like, I think the double bacon cheeseburgers from the dairy bar are good, but I guarantee they're not really good for me, okay? Cheese cubes from Darryl's, chocolate or a hot fudge milkshake, good, not good for me, okay? Our definition of good is not the same as God's definition of good. God would probably rather me eat raw spinach, which is okay if you have like some good stuff on top of it. But we have to keep that in mind though, that our definition of good is not the same as God's. But he does want good for you. And so this example of healing, you can apply the same principle to whatever other needs in life, whether it's finances, spiritual guidance, wisdom, you name it, okay? So back to John chapter 5, verse 14, says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Ah, the catch. See, you guys knew there was a catch, didn't you? Who was waiting for it? Who's waiting for the catch? Nobody? Okay, two people, three people were waiting for the catch. There is a catch. It says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So wait a minute. Does he hear us all the time or does he not hear us all the time? Like, which is it? Does God hear us? Does he not hear us? Well, he hears us. He's not deaf. It's not that he doesn't comprehend. It's not that he's taking a nap. It's not that he's ignoring us. But if it's not according to his will, he may disregard it. And think back to something that I shared. I think I shared this last week. Was this is the best life example I can think of, is the interaction between a mother or a father. This situation, probably more likely a father, but with his children. And you think about if a kid asks for something that you don't really want to do, and you just kind of like, I'm busy, you know, like sometimes I may pretend that I'm deaf or asleep or like I didn't hear him, you know, like, well, I didn't hear him, it's the same as deaf, but sometimes you do that kind of stuff because it's like, I don't really want to do that. And it's not that you are deaf. It's not that you don't understand. It's not that you didn't hear them. It's just that you didn't really want to. It's like, that's not what I want to do. And I don't really want to say no because it'll make them mad. I'll have to say more, okay? I'll have to say more. I'll have to explain something then. If I just kind of play dead here, then they'll just go away, okay? Now, this is just an illustration, okay? This isn't Bible. But sometimes kids are persistent enough that you have to just straight out tell them no. And sometimes you can be nice about it, and sometimes you're mean about it, right? Have parents been in that situation? Like, sometimes your kids just keep asking. It's like, I've ignored you long enough. No! Like, I was going to be nice and say no, but let me at least breathe, okay? Like, you just yell no, okay? And some of you have probably heard that from God before, have you? I know that I have. I've gotten, like, resounding no's before, and I wasn't very happy about it, just like my kids aren't whenever I do it. But the instant that you're asked as a parent, that you're asked to do something that you want to do, you do it. Then all of a sudden, oh, well, I heard that. Yeah, I'm listening. They can ask you to do something that is what you want, and you will say yes, because that's your will. That's your desire. That's what you want to do, okay? If the kids say, do you want to go to Daryl's, I may ignore them. If they want to say, do you want to go to Daryl's, I will buy you a chocolate or a hot fudge milkshake, I'm like, let's go to Daryl's, okay? That's kind of how it works, and we do that sometimes in our house. But anyway, so when we think about that, the word says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And every time I read something like that, I can't help but think of that parent, child. And maybe you guys don't do that stuff with your kids. That's the way I do it, but I should have had you guys leave or something. Now you're going to be like, Dad, I know you can hear me. No, I can't. But for Jesus to hear us, it doesn't mean that he has earplugs or he's ignoring like we may do. It doesn't mean that he's not listening. But for him to hear means this. The word hear means to consider what has been said. To consider. So yes, God always hears your prayers, but hearing them means he's considering. It doesn't mean that you're going to get a response, okay? When my kids ask me all that stuff, I always consider what they say, but I don't always give a response. And sometimes I say yes, sometimes I say no, but I hear them, I consider. So don't we want Jesus to hear us when we pray? We want him to hear us. I want him to consider what I've said. Now, I'm sure that he does consider everything because it says there that he considers everything. But when we ask according to his will is when he considers it. When we ask something that's not according to his will, if he doesn't consider it, then that means he must disregard it. He must push it to the side. Maybe he does just ignore us under those situations. But when we ask something according to his will, he considers it. And so first thing in that verse, we have to ask. We have to ask. Now, when we ask, this is not a half-hearted request, like you're asking out of obligation or because, well, there's just a message preached about praying and this need comes up, so like I guess I have to lift it up in prayer. That's not what this is. This is not half-hearted request. The word ask here, used in this context, means to ask, to beg, to call for, to crave, to desire, and to require. That's the kind of asking. This sounds to me like persistence is sometimes required in prayer. And I'm going to read just a few verses that show that. Psalm 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He waited patiently, persistence. Psalm 88:1, O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Persistence. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Persistence. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Sometimes when we pray, we've got to do more than just simply ask. Sometimes you've got to beg. Sometimes you've got to crave, desire, or you have to require something of God. You realize that we can do that? You can require something of God? It doesn't mean that he's going to listen if it's not according to his will. But you can demand things. You can be like, Lord, you have to do this. We can say that. We can approach him boldly and confidently if we're asking for things that are in alignment with his will. So, when was the last time that you prayed earnestly about something like these verses are talking about? That you prayed even hours and hours, or even all night for a situation that you wanted God to work in? I can know for me, it's very few that I've prayed all night for. I mean, that's conviction to me right there. There are things that I've wanted so badly is what I think. Like, if I wanted him that bad, why didn't I pray harder? Why didn't I pray more? Why didn't I really contend for it? And this isn't to make anyone feel bad. It's just to point out that there are times where we really, really, really have to contend for what we believe in. Like, you have to beg for it. And what did Jesus do in the garden before his arrest? He prayed. How long? All night. He prayed all night. Now, you think about it, this was a huge, huge thing in his life that he really, really, really wanted a different outcome. Not really, but kind of. Okay? But you see in Luke chapter 22, verse 41, it says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' And an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground." Jesus was in agony. He was wrestling with his emotions. And yet, what did he do? He prayed more earnestly. He prayed more earnestly, intently, eagerly, with desire, with passion. Now, with passion doesn't necessarily mean you have to be yelling. That's what we equate passion to in this life. But he's passionate. He's like, "Father, please take this cup from me, but your will be done." This is our model. This is what Jesus did in a situation where he so badly wanted something. That's what he did. Now, the answer was no. It was something that had to be done, and he knew that it had to be done, but it didn't stop him from praying earnestly. I mean, he prayed until his sweat became like great drops of blood. Now, that's intense prayer. That's earnest begging, requesting, requiring of the Lord right there. So, as our model to pray right here, what Jesus did, this is how we pray when there's something we have a passion for. We need to pray all night if that's what it takes. We need to pray with passion. We have to ask. But the last part of that is said that we must ask according to his will. So the second thing that we have to do if we want Jesus to hear our prayers, if we want him to consider them, is we have to make them according to his will. You have to ask. Part one, then part two, it has to be according to his will. We need to pray in accord with what he would want. With what he would want, not what we desire or insist that he do for us. And Christians oftentimes are guilty of the genie in the bottle syndrome with God. You guys, can anybody relate to that? I think we probably all can, if we're being honest, that we've all given up those prayers that sometimes, kind of like God is a genie in a bottle. And Jay Kessler, in a book called Raising Responsible Kids, records one of his early prayer experiences. And this is what he wrote. "Shortly after I got my driver's license, I was driving too close to the middle of a narrow road, and I sideswiped another car. The crash tore the front fender, two doors, and the rear fender from my dad's car." That's a bad deal. So what is he going to do? Naturally, he's going to pray, right? "After I found out everyone was okay, I stood in the ditch and prayed, 'Dear God, I pray this did not happen.'" And he continues, "I opened my eyes and the car was still wrecked. So I closed my eyes, squinted really hard, and prayed again, 'Dear God, it didn't happen.' I opened my eyes and it happened anyway." Like, it was still there. That's how we are sometimes. God is not a genie, okay? He's not a genie. There's a big difference. You can have your three wishes that lead to destruction. Have you ever noticed that? The three wishes always lead to destruction, even in cartoons. It's like the last I watched, has anybody ever seen Shirt Tales? Somebody please raise your hand. Nobody in this whole room's ever heard of Shirt Tales. Melissa, thank you. All right. Aaron, are you raising your hand? No. Okay. Okay, me and Melissa both know that Shirt Tales was once a wonderful cartoon. It's really cheesy right now if you go back and watch it. But when I was a kid, it was awesome. But in Shirt Tales the other day, they found a genie in the bottle, and the genie tricked them. And I'm like, this is even a cartoon for kids. And the underlying story is, don't ever trust the genie. He's gonna get you, okay? The genie, it always, always, always turns out bad. The genie's Satan, all right? Because it always turns out bad. You can ask, I'll give you anything you want, right? I'll give you anything you want. And immediately, selfish desire. Well, give me all the money in the world. Now nobody else has any money. That was pretty stupid, okay? Like, whatever you do, it always ends up coming back on you and tricking you. And then the genie always tries to, like, run off before you get the third wish to ask for everything back. But in the cartoon, they got everything back with the third wish. But that's how a genie is, and we do that sometimes where we ask for things that are ridiculous, like please pretend this or make this crash never have happened. Okay, it's a little late for that one, buddy. And I believe that God could do something like that, but he's not gonna. Why would he restore a car so that you don't learn your lesson, okay? But you can have your three wishes that lead to destruction because it's that person's selfish wish instead of God's perfect will. God knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for you. His will. That's what's best for you. His will. And he wants to do what's best for you, no doubt about it. And we see, this is what James says right here about genie prayers. In James 4, verses 2 and 3 says, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." Now, right there is something that hinders prayers. The will of God. What is the will of God? If I ask for something that's not his will, he's not going to do it. But I don't know what his will is. What am I to do? It's a whole lot easier than we make it out to be. What is the will of God? What is the will of God? I'm going to tell you the secret. It's right here. The will of God. It's right here. Just read it. Okay? Not the stuff at the bottom. Those are somebody else's ideas. Get a slimline Bible with no notes, and that's the will of God. If you know the word of God, then you know the will of God. You know what his desires are. You know what he wants to do. It's in his word. The word of God shows us the will of God because the word of God is Jesus. The more you know Jesus, the more you know the will of God. And here's the thing. It's not about knowing about him, okay? It's about knowing him. It's not just a knowledge, just straight head knowledge of the Bible. And I think about, like, if I were to write a book, okay, I'm going to write a book about myself, and you guys were to read it. I know most of you are like, there's no way I'm reading that. Like, it can't be that great. But if I was to write a book about myself, and you guys were all to read it, okay, you would know a lot about me. But would that mean that you would know what I would want done in any situation better than my wife, who will say did not read the book? No. You might know everything that I put in that book, everything about my life, but that doesn't mean that you know more about what I would do in a situation than my wife, who knows me. She knows me. She knows more about me than anybody else here. Even more than my mom and my sister, because I've been out of the house for however many years, okay, 20 or something, not quite 20. But Christy knows me, okay? We've lived together for 14 years. She sees me morning, night, angry, happy, mad, sad, glad, whatever. She sees me all the time. She knows me, Okay? So, she knows me more than anyone else, and you can read about me, but that doesn't mean that you know enough about me to make decisions as I would make them, as I would desire. But it wouldn't compare to her experience with me, okay? Being with me, making those decisions, knowing how I would do things, how I think, what I desire, and what my passions are. And even when I worked at Q&S, there was three of us that were brought into management as the company grew. And there was a point in time where Mel turned things over to me and to Ryan because we had spent so much time with him listening to how he made decisions, listening to how he would react to things, that he knew they will do my will. They will do what I want to do because of the experience that they've had with me, because they know me. They know how I run a business. They know what my desires are. They know my heart. They know me. It's not just he wrote a document. It's like, every situation, this is what I would do. Here, guys, I trust you because you can just read this and see what to do. You have to know him. You have to know God. Now, my book about me, you reading that and knowing what I would do, my will, it's similar to reading the Bible, except the Bible has this very unfair advantage that my book would not have. The Bible's alive. The Word of God is alive. The Holy Spirit can speak to you, teach you, okay? You can learn from the Word of God what God would do. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You have to know the Word to know the will of God. Everything we need is right there in that Word of God. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." If we pray in accordance to what pleases God, as found in the scripture, then we're praying the will of God. We need to pray in alignment with the Word of God, and you're praying the Word of God. If we ask for anything according to his will, he hears us. He considers what has been said. So what about answers? What about the answers? That's what the people want, right? Is that what you want? Answers? Okay, that's why we pray. It shouldn't be, but it is. It's why we pray. We're like, where's the fruit of this? And even the war against cancer, and we prayed and prayed and all that stuff. And I believe that God's going to work in every one of those lives. But I want to see the fruit of that. I want to see, God, where are the testimonies? Not so that I know that we didn't waste our time. Not so that I feel good about what we did. But I want God to receive glory. I want to see testimonies. I shared during the service, and either one of the other ladies said it or prayed it too, was that we want to see cancer wiped away, gone, abolished, like removed from this earth, never to return, and see those hospital beds empty, that the cancer treatment places close. Cheryl prayed that, and it was awesome. Like, that's what we want, for the glory of God, so they see God is great, he did this. But answers are what we want, and this is what answers do to us. Now, I may not see the fruit of that, of all that prayer, for some time. I hope that we do, but we may not. There may be people on that list that they get healed that they never tell us, okay? When I say that we may not see the fruit, I don't mean that God's not going to work in any of those lives. He may work in every one of them and nobody tell us, okay? It could happen. But when we think about the answers, we get hung up on answers, and here's what happens. People give up when they don't get answers. People stop asking because they don't get the answers. They become discouraged because they don't get the answers. People begin to doubt because they didn't get answers. But why do we pray? What is the purpose of praying? What is our motivation for praying? And we can pray for lots of reasons, but I mean, what is the real root? What's the main reason behind prayer? It's communion with God, fellowship with God. And even as I shared the other week about heaven, like we all have different reasons for wanting to go to heaven, but it really shouldn't be anything other than we want to be with him. Like that's the reason to go there. I mean, how would you guys feel if I showed up at your house and I'm like, well, I don't really want to be with you, but it was better than going to, you know, Billy's house. Like my wife told me I had to get out of the house. Like she was doing something and she needed me to leave. And like Billy wasn't home, so I came by here. Like, is that all right? I don't really want to be with you, but it's better than being with Billy. Okay? Like that's how people treat God. You don't go to heaven because you don't want to go to hell. You go to heaven because you want to be with God. And we pray because we want fellowship with God. We want communion with God. That's got to be our real heart. Fellowship with the Almighty Creator of the universe. How awesome is that? It's awesome that we even have the ability in the first place. And 1 John 15:15 says, "And if we know that he hears us, we know he considers what we ask, then we know that we have the petitions that we asked for." To know that he hears us in whatever we ask is enough. Because communion with God is the real goal, the real purpose in prayer. Just knowing that he's considering it should be enough. It shouldn't be answers. Like, where are the answers? Show me the evidence. Show me the fruit. I want to know right now, okay? That shouldn't be the heart behind prayer. It's got to be communion with God. Knowing that he hears us has got to be enough. We can't doubt. Okay, when we don't get an answer and we doubt, that's not confidence in him, right? Doubt is not confidence in him. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." God keeps his word. We have to have confidence in Jesus first, then we have to ask. And sometimes you don't just ask, sometimes you have to beg, call for, crave, desire, and require of the Lord. And then we must know his will. We must know the word. We must know what we're asking for, okay? We ask for ridiculous things because we're not asking in alignment with the word of God, okay? If I was to ask, like, if I could jump off the Empire State Building and still live, well, that would be a really stupid request, okay? That doesn't align with the word of God. Jesus wouldn't even do that. He told Satan, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not tempting the Lord my God. Like, just, yeah, sure, he'll send the angels to catch you, okay? We don't ask stupid things that aren't in alignment with the word of God. We do, but we shouldn't, okay? Now, hopefully nobody asks something ridiculous like that. Call and ask for wisdom before you do something like that. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. If you ask me if you could jump off of a building and God might save you, I'll tell you don't do it. Okay, Ben will tell you don't do it. Ask people. But seriously, we have to have faith knowing that he will do what he says. And we have to have patience. We have to have obedience. And we have to be in submission to his greater wisdom. That's a part that we lack a lot, asking for prayer. But when we think about prayer and even that we're always looking for answers, remember, his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Sometimes he may have already answered. Where are we looking for the answer? We're looking where we expect. We're looking for what we expect his response to be. Quite frankly, he may have already answered the prayer and he may just be in that mode where he's like disregarding it. He's like, why do you keep asking me for that? I already did it. He's just casting it aside. We have to look for the answers to prayers because he doesn't always answer the way that we expect. And Jason shared with me one time about blessing, about praying for blessing upon people, that When you pray blessing upon people, it may be good, it may be bad. I mean, you don't know. You just pray for God to bless people, and no matter what the outcome may be, it's a blessing. Sometimes it's a bad thing that happens because a blessing comes from it, okay? But when we pray blessing over people, we just pray, God does the work. He may do what we expect him to do. He may do something else. He may do something good, something. He doesn't do something bad, but he may allow something bad to happen in their lives to draw them closer to him, to teach them a lesson, whatever the case may be, so they suffer for his sake. But God doesn't always answer the way that we expect. That doesn't mean that we give up. That doesn't mean that we ask any less. That doesn't mean that our prayers are not important, that our prayers are not powerful. When we think about children's prayers, I love children's prayers. Like, I'd rather hear a child pray than probably any of you adults. No offense. But when children pray, it's just like, they don't care. They'll pray for anything. Like, anything. And you know what? They believe. Like, they believe, hey, I'm asking for this. God's going to do it. We need to pray like that. We need to have that childlike faith that when we ask for things, that God's going to do it. We need to pray in alignment with his will. And so today, to close out service, I got a few scriptures I'm going to share. But we're going to do something that's going to make some people uncomfortable. But I promise you that it will be okay. That God's not going to make you do anything that will cause you to, well, you may have, like, pass out or something, but we'll just push you to the side and walk around you or whatever. But what I want to do is I want to pray. And Matthew 21, 13, we all know this verse when Jesus came into the temple and he said, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. Now, I don't believe that God believes that we've made this place a den of thieves, but I do believe that this place is to be a house of prayer, that it's something that's supposed to be the highlight, the focus of what we do. Glorify Jesus, praise him, and pray to him. Those are more important than me preaching a message. I'll tell you that right now. Way more important. So we want to pray today. I want you to consider as you pray. Psalm 138:3 says, on the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. On the day I called, you answered me. And then 2 Chronicles 7:14, probably everybody knows this verse as well. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. How many of you believe today that our land needs healed? I mean, we need forgiven. Hopefully we've taken care of that. Hopefully you haven't sinned since we took communion. But if you have, you need forgiven. But our land definitely needs healed. Our land needs healed in way more ways than I can think of. And then Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. Constant in prayer. So what I want to do is, I want to ask people to come down, and can you get that list up there? I've got a list. This is so nobody can use the excuse that you don't know what to pray for, that you can pray for anything on the list. And again, those are things that I just jotted down literally in like a minute. So there's way more things on that list. There may be things that are more important than what I have on that list, but I want everybody to pray whatever God lays on your heart. And if you don't have anything, you're one of those people that, like, you go around a circle and everybody tells their name and where they're from and they come to you and you don't even know what your name is. Like, has anybody ever done that? I've done that before. It's kind of weird. But if that happens to you, you just turn around and look at the list and, like, pick one, okay? But, so we're going to come down, and I want to do right what that says right there, that we're going to do a constant, be constant in prayer. I want a constant line to go through and lift up a prayer to the Lord and be effective, be time sensitive, okay? However many people we got here, if everybody does a 15-minute prayer, we're never going to leave. If that's what happens, that's what happens. But pray what God leads you to pray, okay? Don't feel like you have to be wordy. Don't feel like you have to compare yourself to somebody else, okay? Like, well, they prayed with like big words and I don't even know what those words mean and I can't remember them to repeat them. Like, you don't have to do that. It's like, dear God, please, number two, please bring more of your presence into this church. There you go. God, please heal our government. God, please bless our missionaries, Fabian, Jeff and Marianne, Kate and Adam, whatever, okay? It can be something very simple. Don't feel pressure like I have to do something that everybody's going to leave here remembering. If that's your heart, go back to why do we pray? Commune with God. And because we have faith believing that he'll do what he says he'll do. So if you guys want to turn on some music, yeah, and I'll turn this one on. We can come up as you're ready. Now, I'm not going to force anybody to do this, but I'm encouraging everybody to do it because, like I said, I believe your prayer, whoever doesn't do it, your prayer may be the one that God's going to answer today. I'm not saying that to provoke you to come up here. I'm saying that's for real, that maybe that's the one thing that God's like, I'm doing that, and then you don't come and ask. So I'll start, and then Ben's going to finish, but again, just come up here. If you guys can begin to line up whenever you're ready, and I'll start praying, because we want to be constant. So when I'm done, we'll have somebody else come up. You can just make a line as you're ready. But Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, because you are good. And I just pray right now, Lord, for your holiness to be released all upon this earth, Lord, that your Christian people, Lord, the believers in you, Lord, would be mighty in their faith, Lord. God, that they would share your goodness, your mercy, and your grace to all those who don't believe, Lord, and that you would do a work in the hearts of those who don't believe, that you would turn them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I just lift up a special prayer right now for the breakthrough in the group 412, the youth of this church, Lord. I pray for the leaders. I pray for the children that are coming, Lord, that they will become disciples for your kingdom, and that there will be more kids drawn into this church, Lord, and there will be more leaders here to do your will, Lord. We want this to become your church, and Lord, you guide and direct us with what we do each and every day. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I also lift up the breakthrough youth, Lord, as those young kids, Lord. They're awesome kids that come into this place on Wednesday nights, Lord, and they seek you. They seek the companionship of leaders. They seek the companionship of those who are following Christ, Lord. And their foundation is being built. A relationship with you is being built, Lord. And I know we're coming into a season where other churches are going to be shutting down. So I personally have an expectancy that you're going to send more to this place, Lord. There's going to be more lives that are going to be changed because of the ministry that goes on in here on Wednesday nights, Lord. And I pray for the laborers, Lord Jesus. I pray for more to come in here and to touch lives and to change lives, all for your glory and all for your purpose, Lord. We lift up breakthrough to you, Lord. We ask that you move mightily and powerfully in that ministry. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Father God, I want to lift up our government to you, Lord. We are in such a sorry shape right now, Father God. Just listening to the news on the radio, on TV, in the newspapers, Father God, I know how disappointed you have to be. And I just ask, Father God, that you put people in leadership, whatever party, Father God, you just put people in leadership that believe in you and believe in your standards, Father God. I just pray that the people that are higher up in government, God, that they be something that we can look up to, and that our kids can be proud of, and that we can just support them, God. I just pray that as this world gets worse, Father God, that we can put our faith in you, and knowing that they're putting their faith in you, Father God. Please watch over and guide and direct everyone in leadership, Father. We love you and we praise you in your precious name.
God, I pray for the Christians that are in this church as well as those around the world. I pray that you would just be felt in greater measure in their life, that as they open their word, that they would have more revelation, that you would speak things to them, God, that it would not just be words on a page, but that they would hear clearly from you exactly what you want them to see, and that when they pray, that they would feel your presence, that they would be built in their faith, that they would know that you're going to answer them. God, I pray that each of us would have a stronger relationship with you as individuals, not just as a church, but that we would just feel your presence more in our lives, just in that relationship personally with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Lord, I ask that you fill each and every one of us with your word and your Holy Spirit, that we live our lives according to your will and the Bible. And that as we take that with us outside of this church, that every person can see your glory, your joy, and how wonderful you are. And that as we take you out into this world, that as they see that in us, that they understand it, because we may be the only Bible that some person out there gets to read. And as each and every one of them is reached, because you show through us your family, your children, your church grows each and every day, that we can reach just one from each of us. And Lord, I ask that you shine through us according to your will, that you guide us in this endeavor. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, I lift up this church to you, Father. May we get more into your word, Father. May you continue to guide and lead us, and may we be beacons, may we be bright lights for you. May we reach out to those that are lost. Father, we are just so grateful for all that you do for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Father God, I come to you, and Father, I lift up our missions, Father, especially the food pantry. Father, I just pray that each and every one of us that you have blessed so abundantly would feel a need to help those who are less fortunate. Break our heart for what breaks yours, Father, and I pray that one of those things is people going to bed hungry. You know, we don't like it, and I just pray that each and every one of us would make a change, make a commitment to help out someone, to bring a box of food to church that we might donate it, Father. I just pray that this is an area that we will cover. When there are so many areas, Father, I think this is one that is most important. Father, I just give these things to you in your name. Amen.
Dear God, just please wipe out all the cancer in the world.
Father God, I just pray for awakening and revival in America and in this house, Lord. And I pray Psalm 90. Lord, let us see your miracles again, and let our children see your glory at work. And Lord God, that you would show us your approval and make our efforts successful. We just ask for an increase of your spirit, Lord.
God, I want to pray for the 412 youth group tonight. Whenever they come here, it's not just a time to come and hang out and play around, but they come and they get your word, and that you speak to them through the leaders, and Lord be with them. And I know that's the hardest time to be in church, is that age group, and that's also the age group that kids, they decide if they're going to be in church their life or they're not going to be in church. And Lord, just pray that you lead, guide, and direct them in the ways that they need to be in, and help them keep them on that straight and narrow path.
Father God, I pray for the 412 youth group. I pray for all children, Lord, in the 7th grade through 12th grade, Lord. I pray that your fire will come upon them. I pray as this youth group meets, Lord, that they will draw more in for your kingdom. I pray that they will come to know you as a living God, Lord, and they will believe in your power and the things that you can and will do in their lives. I pray, Lord, for I pray, Lord, that they will turn their hearts towards you and turn away from the ways of the world, Lord Jesus, and that they will have a perfect balance of biblical submission to authority and independence in this time of their lives as they're growing into independent individuals. Lord, lead mentors into their life. I ask that their parents, grandparents, family members, friends, Lord, lift them up and continue to try to turn them in the right direction. I just thank you for each and every one of these children, and I just ask, Lord, that you use them in a mighty way in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I just lift up our congregation and that we will walk in victory, Lord, knowing that we have victory through you, Jesus. And I pray that our hope will continuously be in your glorious return.
Lord, I would just like to pray for those that are in pain or burden for whatever reason, daily problems that they have, their job, anything like that, that if they feel the need that they would reach out to other people, that they wouldn't carry those burdens alone, that they would give them to you, that they would find a friend, somebody to confide in, somebody to talk to, somebody to lessen that so that they don't have to carry that. That's not something that they have to carry around. That's what we're here for. If you feel like a friend or somebody is in need, reach out to them, talk to them. Sometimes all they need to do is just let it out, and you can be that person that they can listen to.
Lord, I just I thank you for the freedom that you've given us here in this country to come into your house and to honor and worship you, Lord. Dear God, I just pray that you would be with our international missionaries, Lord, that as they go out into the world to spread your word, I just pray for their safety, God, and I just pray for finances for them to continue your work out in the world, Lord. But as they go into some of these different places in the world that try to put you down, God, that you are with them and you protect them and that you guide them every step of their way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, dear Lord, Father Jehovah, Jesus Christ, my Savior, I ask again for the worldwide peace of all your people of all color and race. Oh, dear Lord, you know how I love the people. If you could fill them with your spirit, what a wonderful place this could be. And I thank you, Lord, for saving my son's life. And I ask that you chain and bind Satan and send him to the darkness where he belongs and leave our people alone and leave our children alone. I ask, Lord, that you get Satan out of here with these hard drugs. It is taking our innocent children because it is all-consuming. And there are many precious youth around in this area and everywhere that are suffering. And I know that it is Satan himself, and you have the power to chain him and destroy him. And I am asking in Jesus Christ's name for this, as I do over and over, year after year. But Lord, it is not my will, but thine, so be it, blessed be. I give my love and thanks. And I do love you with all my heart, Lord. And I try to be more righteous and be more like you. But sometimes it's just hard.
glorious Father, I want to lift up the local churches, Lord, and the pastors. And Lord, as time draws near and we see youth struggling and families burdened, Lord, I pray that you give them the wisdom and you move through them with your spirit, Lord, that you can be that, they can be that one that they see you through, that those families, those children, those hurt people can see your face, Jesus, and that we can bring more of your children back to you, Lord. I pray for guidance and understanding and wisdom from you, Lord. And I pray for your return, Jesus. I pray for that day that the sky breaks open and you come back. Lord, we just desire to be with you, to see your face, to be in your presence, to sit back against you and breathe in your presence. And I thank you so much for giving us this second life to be with you, for allowing us to be reborn into that life with you, Jesus. And it's in your glorious name that I pray. I would like to share the Lord's word. John 16, to close us out, to John 16, we do get to talk to the Father directly. And what a joy it is in that we get to talk in Jesus' name to our Father. And Jesus spoke to us so we don't have to stumble any longer. And in Ephesians, he writes, may you have the power to understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. And this is my prayer over the congregation today, Lord, that we are able to experience that love of Christ, even though it's completely, we're not able to understand it, Lord, but we are able to experience it. And I pray that that fills each person's life in this room right now, Lord, and that your love and understanding grows within each one of us, Lord. And then that way we can be full of the life and the power that comes from God because of what you have done for us, Jesus. I pray for protection over each person here, Lord, that you lead, guide, and direct us and bring us closer into a relationship with you like we have never experienced before. Let that be new each moment of each day. I thank you for each person here, and I pray that you bless them as they move out this week. And it's in your name, Jesus. Amen.